Everybody take a deep breath. Finally, a few days off for the Capitals. They need it. They need some practice time. JJ Regan and I are going to get into that, plus what we see moving forward from the Caps in their last 10 games. We look back on Nick Backstrom and his 1,000th game. And Anthony Mantha, is he just going to score every single game for the Capitals? JJ Regan, Nick Ashing, the Capitals Talk Podcast starts right now.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ten games left for the Capitals in the regular season, and JJ, if there was ever a time for a team to have some sort of break, I feel like it should be right now for this Caps team. They've had a grind of a schedule the last few weeks. You're sitting here with that loss to the Sabres, and I get it. I know I'm going to have to pay my penance in a minute here, and that's fine. You know, you get this loss then to Boston on top of that, a couple of injuries, which we'll get to. This just feels like we knew that stretch was going to be a lot for this team, but it really just is that nice round number of 10 games, have 3 days off, give this team a chance to kind of just get their mind right again, because it has been brutal for them.
Yeah, well, why don't we get this out of the way early on? T-Mac, our poor producer, you've given him crap all season long, the poor, long-suffering Buffalo fan. The Sabres have now won 6 of their last 11. They beat Pittsburgh and Washington last week. So come on, let's hear it, Nick. What have you got to say to T-Mac?
First off, you know I don't apologize for anything I say, so that's not going to be what happens. But I'll say this, T-Mac, your Sabres are better than what they were before. They don't need to be relegated anymore to the AHL. And yes, I said on multiple pregame shows that when that game happened and the Capitals played them, that was a guaranteed win, and they didn't win. But I blame the Nick Backstrom ceremony. They seemed like they were still drunk from it, so who knows? Maybe they were partying. I don't know. So there were other factors in there, too. I'm not apologizing for that because they were terrible throughout the entire year. But I'm happy for T-Mac, and I'm happy that your team is a respectable team now and you have a coach that players actually want to play for and guys out there that actually want to play, because you've been sad all season, and deep down I've really just felt for you.
I mean, they're playing better. They're clearly playing better, and I'll thank the Capitals because it was the 6-0, I believe it was 6-0 just embarrassment that they played about a month ago that was essentially the last straw for poor Ralph Krueger, who just, you know, was clearly in over his head. So if the Capitals had a part in bringing that sad era to a close, I'm happy. And obviously, you know, I actually felt bad on Thursday night because I love Nick Backstrom. And, you know, with all the things that we did for Nick on Thursday to celebrate his 1,000th game, I actually didn't want Buffalo to win that game, and unfortunately they did. So if even in the joy, Nick, there's sadness for me as a Sabres fan.
Oh, that's so typical. Even when they win, it's a problem.
But I feel bad for him. I'm like, you're getting these wins, and yet he's just so down in the dumps about this team.
I think T-Mac's right, though. I think the Backstrom celebration had a little bit to do with that. And I felt sorry for Backstrom, not just because of losing his 1,000th game, but you remember back when he scored his 700th assist, that was in a 5-1 drubbing from Boston. And we tried to talk to him afterwards, and he said, yeah, it's nice, but I wish we would have won this game. So he had two major milestones this season, and they both came in bad losses. So feel sorry for Backstrom, but you're right. This is coming at a good time. This break is coming at a good time. It gives the Caps, they got a day off tomorrow, and it gives them 2 days of practice. Practice is so valuable right now because no one is getting any practice time. So it'll give them some time to practice, some time to game plan for a massive 3-game series against the Islanders. It'll give them time to get healthy for Zdeno Chara and Justin Schultz. We'll figure out exactly what the deal is with those guys. Because let's not forget, too, this team doesn't have the defensive depth that it had at one point. You know, Siegenthaler is not on this team anymore. So if you need a left guy to replace Daniel Chara, maybe you're looking at recalling Martin Fejervaari, or maybe Trevor Van Riemsdyk gets a couple more games in. So good time for them to rest, recuperate, heal up a little bit, and game plan for what's going to be, you know, maybe the decisive series in the East Division.
And that can be our cold brew check presented by Duncan. You've got two defensemen right now that you need to figure out what their status is going to be. And you're right. Practice time is great. And also the rest is great. I mean, Zdeno Chara at 44 years old, blocking what, three shots late in that second period on Saturday, just limping around and looking like he's losing limbs and still out there throwing his body around. They never said exactly what the issue was, but I'm going to assume that it had something to do with getting hit by three pucks late in that second period. Justin Schultz then on top of that missing time as well for this team. I mean, you had a good portion of Sunday against Boston, right down to what, five defensemen. So that is going to be an issue this team is going to have to address as you move forward, and you hope that both of them are back by Thursday. But if that's not the case, you know, you've got Trevor Van Riemsdyk that you can put out there, but you're right. You may have some other names you have to bring up if it's necessary.
First off on Chara, that shift, that penalty kill in the second period was everything the Caps hoped that they would be getting from him when they signed him in the offseason. The dude is 44 years old. He hasn't missed a game this entire season. He's out there on a Saturday in an April day game, blocking pucks like crazy. He takes three pucks. He takes two pucks to the same foot. He takes a third one off the left foot at the end of the period. That was a crazy penalty kill. Stayed in there, made a goal-saving play to whack the puck out of the air that was bouncing into the crease. Like, he wasn't just a statue who was useless after getting hit by that puck. He was still playing. He cleared the puck at one point, too. It's just he couldn't get over to the bench. So that was an insane penalty kill. All the respect in the world for that. He came back for the third period and then didn't play the next day. I'm with you, Nick. We don't know exactly what it is, but I think it probably has to do with taking those pucks to the foot. And I think the reason why he was able to play in the third period probably didn't take those skates off in between periods. That's probably had a lot to do with it. So absolutely, there could have been a lingering issue there. He just didn't take the skates off because he knew once he did, those skates weren't going to fit back on again. So hopefully it's not that long. You know, Peter Laviolette's really tight-lipped about these things. We don't really know anything about Justin Schultz right now. So hopefully neither of those guys are out too long. And the 3 days off between now and Thursday's game is enough time for them to get back into the lineup.
Yeah, and that was your cold brew check presented by Duncan this season. Be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there's hockey, there's Duncan. I will say this, too, though. I mean, Zdeno Chara has clearly exceeded any expectations that you would have for him going into this year. And I'd say the same thing about Anthony Mantha now and what he's brought to this team since coming over in that trade for Detroit. And you and I had this conversation after the deadline, and other people have, too. When you first looked at the trade, it was, that's a lot you're giving up. When you really look at all of the things that were involved in that trade, it wasn't just for a player. It was for cap relief, and we've gone over all that. But for him to come in and score the goals the way that he did and make himself – really make his presence known to this team right off the bat, to do the things where he's just – if he's not scoring in front of the net, he's disrupting defenders in front of the net. He's creating havoc. He's doing all of the stuff that you expected from him, and he's been consistent so far. And remember, this is somebody that came from a really terrible Detroit team. I mean, make fun of the Sabres, but damn, Detroit is awful. And there's a point where he's like, you know what? I'm sure he's just not motivated to go out there and lose hockey games left and right. I know he re-signed, took the money, but to now be in a winning situation and playing on with some the most talented players he's ever played with on his line, you're seeing a guy that is really looking like a great fit for this team so far.
Yeah, you are. He's been great. You know, it's – There are really two angles of concern from that trade when the trade was made. The first was what the Caps gave up for it. It was a steep price to pay. The other angle was, man, you're giving away a lot of production on a guy who played a key part in the Stanley Cup run for this guy who the team likes, but was basically a total unknown. You never know. It doesn't matter what a guy does on paper. It doesn't matter what you think his value is and all that. You know, it's, you never know how a guy's going to fit in with your team or in your locker room. So it was definitely a gamble. He scored a goal in each of his first four games with the Caps. You know, I'm always wary when the guy scores a goal in his first game, because I remember Scott Walker scoring twice in his first game with the Caps, and I don't think the guy scored again for the Caps during his tenure. I think he was even a healthy scratch in the playoffs. So, you know, I try to be patient with it, but Mantha looks every bit what the Caps thought they were getting with him. And man, if you bring in a guy and he's able to give you just as much production as Jacob Vrana, but add that physical body as well, that's a big add for the Caps. That absolutely makes them better. And at first glance, you weren't sure if that was going to be the case, giving away a guy as good as Jacob Vrana. Now, the other thing about, you talked about Detroit, Nick, about, well, maybe it was just being on the terrible Detroit team. Well, the other part of that too is this guy has not played, I believe he has not played a single playoff game in his career. He came in right when Detroit got terrible. So I believe he has not played a playoff game in his career. That's the other thing. How is this guy going to look in the playoffs? Is he ready for that? You know, the flip side is Jacob Vrana, everyone remembers him scoring in game 5 of the Stanley Cup final against Vegas. That's the last time he scored in the playoffs. He has not been productive in the last two postseasons for the Caps. So even if Mantha struggles in the postseason, that might just be a parallel move at this point. But he looks like he's every bit what the Caps were hoping that they were getting in that. And so hats off to Brian McClellan. That is a bold trade that he really didn't need to make in the regular season. Mantha was under contract. That trade probably would have been there in the offseason. He decides to pull the trigger now, and it's early returns, but he looks great. He looks like he's a great addition to this team, and he looks like he's a perfect fit for what the Cats want to do.
Yeah, that is a good point. The playoff play versus regular season. I mean, we see this in all sports, right? Like, you have guys that are really good in the regular season, but when it comes time for the playoffs, the game is different. Things can be officiated differently. And just the mental aspect of it is different. So we've seen great things out of him so far. And at this point, I guess he's just going to score every single game, and he's never going to have a game where he doesn't score. But when you get to the playoffs, they're going to need that from him the same way. And, you know, we've had those issues with Jacob Vrana. I mean, I still think of him bumbling his way down on a fast break. What last year, it feels like it was 100 years ago against the Islanders, like stuff like that, where you've had some bad performances from good regular season players. But right now, all we can do at least is look at what we have from Mantha in the moment, and it does look good. Now, you lose some speed, right? So you're getting the physicality, you're getting somebody that's creating all this havoc in front of the net, but then you do lose that speed in Jacob Vrana. So now this team is doubled down really on what they are, right? They're going to be a tough physical team, and they're going to continue to be a tough physical team in the playoffs. The hope is that they don't end up with some really bad matchup where somehow, like, the Rangers sneak in and they're the 4 seed and the Capitals are the 1 seed and they're dealing with them in the first round, because that would be a nightmare matchup for them.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before. I don't think they're going to catch the Bruins. The Bruins have – it's a narrow lead. I think it's only 4 points between them and the Rangers. But Rangers have, like, 2 games in hand. The Bruins have 2 games in hand. So that's a really steep hill to climb for the Rangers. Plus, the Rangers – the Rangers pulled within 4 points after 4 straight wins against the New Jersey Devils. You're going to have to play a team with a pulse going the rest of the season. So I really don't think the Rangers are going to sneak in. But then, you know, maybe the Cavs end up playing the Bruins. And, boy, has that been a bloody series over the course of the season. So, you know, yeah, what this trade says, the Mantha trade says, is that the Capitals have recognized that their identity is being a physical – a big, powerful team. And so they made a trade to fit that identity. You know, Jacob Vrana, speed is an asset. It absolutely is an asset. But if Jacob Vrana doesn't play to the team's style, then that can be detrimental at times. And you don't want to just trade away every fast player on your roster. You do want some speed. But what it is that the Capitals acknowledge that this is their identity, and so they were going to lean on that identity as a powerful team. And, you know, can speed be a foil to power? Yes, it can. But powerful teams like that can also be a foil to speedy teams. You hit them at every conceivable opportunity. You know, you have a strong forecheck. You hit them at every progression when they're trying to break up the ice. It slows them down. The Capitals' biggest problem against speedy teams like the Rangers is that they get caught trying to play the Rangers game. They get caught in that back and forth, you know, counter, fast counter versus fast counter. If you're going to trade, I don't think anyone would say the Rangers have as much offensive talent and skill as the Caps do. But if you're going to trade chances with the Rangers, you're going to probably lose that game just because that plays more to the Rangers' identity and to their style. That's not what you want to do. You want to play to your style. You want to beat them and batter them and bruise them and hit them at every conceivable point to slow them down, slow down the game, and then get them to play your style of game. So, you know, like I said, this was about identity. It doesn't mean that they're automatically going to lose the fast teams. Big teams can beat fast teams. We've seen it before. It is possible. You can do it. You just have to stick to your identity and to your game plan.
How happy do you think Nick Backstrom is to have gotten that 1,000th game out of the way? Like, if there's anybody that doesn't want attention and hoopla and all this stuff, it's Nicholas Backstrom, and he's doing interview after interview. I mean, I saw him on every radio show, every TV show. He's all over the place. And by the way, he deserves this. He deserves that attention. And I kind of wish he was somebody that embraced it a little bit more, because, you know, he's one of the greatest players this organization has ever had. And I just feel like he deserves more of that, but he doesn't care. And that's fine. But like, this was his moment, having all it felt like, you know, watching that ceremony. And you know, I got to talk to him before the game, and it was brief. He talked for like 3 minutes, but you know, he seemed like he was embracing it to a point. But I can only imagine the relief. One, they lost. You're right. Like you brought up before, like he's had two big milestones and it always ended in a loss. So he's just over that. But I can imagine him just sitting there going, all right, good. This is over. Now I can just get back to playing hockey again and not having to deal with it. Cause like really his situation with the Capitals reminds me of what like Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg is with the Nats, where Max Scherzer gets a lot more of the attention and he's their ace. He's gotten Cy Youngs and, you know, but Strasburg is an ace too. And on a lot of teams when healthy, which is a whole other conversation for different podcast. He was MVP of the World Series, and Strasburg would be a one on a lot of teams' rotations, but he kind of has always been in the shadow of Max Scherzer, and he's cool with it. I feel like it's the same way with Ovi, where Ovi, we know, loves the attention. He's the star, and Backstrom's kind of in his shadow, but seems to be okay with it. So it was nice to kind of have this stretch where it was just all about him getting the recognition he deserved with it, even with their loss.
Yeah, you know, I think back to when Ovechkin got 1,000 games, and it just – the team didn't go all out the way it did. I mean, they celebrated it and it was a big deal, but
this felt like it was a much bigger deal, didn't it? This felt like it was just like huge.
They went all out for Backstrom. They made this a much bigger deal than they did with Ovechkin. And I think that was intentional, because this is a guy who just has lived his entire career in the shadow of Ovechkin. And I know we talk about, you know, like he prefers it that way. He's not the guy who seeks the spotlight, but he's a guy who deserves recognition because he is one of the best players in the history of this franchise. He may be the second best player in the history of this franchise. And he is a guy who is constantly overshadowed, whose abilities and whose accomplishments are always sort of undercut by, well, yeah, he's got a lot of assists, but it's easy to get a lot of assists if you're playing with Alex Ovechkin. Okay, but how much success does Alex Ovechkin, how much of Ovechkin's success is dependent on Backstrom? I mean, Backstrom is a player who absolutely should be considered for the Hall of Fame at the end of his career. And not considered, I mean, he should be in the Hall of Fame. He is an all-time great player. He has been consistently underrated throughout the league, both as an offensive and defensive player. He is an incredible player, an incredible teammate. And you know, it's just, I think the team did go all out for him more so than they did for Ovechkin. Not that they undercut Ovechkin, not that they didn't go as hard as they could have or should have for Ovechkin, but I think they intentionally made this a much bigger deal for Backstrom to make sure that he got the recognition that he deserved and that he got his day for once during the Ovechkin era, that one day it was all about Nicholas Backstrom. So I thought they did it very well. I'm sure he is relieved to have it over with. I'm sure he's proud of it. I mean, you can tell that he's proud of it, but he's also, I'm sure he's happy to go back without the spotlight. And I just wish that they had won that game.
You know, there's something to be said too that makes these moments better for like an all-time great player for a franchise when they're a homegrown player, right? Like they came up in the organization, and for him to come in right after Ovi, they developed this friendship, this chemistry. They've been playing together for so long. I mean, so much now every league is a little different, but player movement is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And you don't always have these types of situations where guys spend their entire career with one organization. And then you've got a duo like you have in Ovi and Backstrom. So to be able to see this culminate the way that it has, they get the Stanley Cup, they're holding the trophy together, and they're making it such a big deal together. And all of this was both of them coming up within the organization. And that's really what's made this even better to me.
But there are a lot. We talk about a lot of players. It's very rare that a player can go through their entire career with one franchise. And that player has to mean a lot for that franchise to even really consider that, because you get yourself locked into these ugly situations. And, you know, when Peyton Manning went to Denver and Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay, and, you know, Jerome McGinley went all over the place. And, you know, you've got a lot of all-time great players across sports who don't finish with the same team. Michael Jordan played for the Wizards. It's just, it's crazy.
We don't talk about that. You know that. That never happened, never existed.
But it's crazy that when Backstrom's contract came up, it meant a lot to the organization to try to give him a contract that would last for the rest of his career. That spoke volumes over what the franchise believes his value is to that team, knowing that, okay, he's going to be up there in his upper years, but we're going to pay him a lot of money, and we're going to give him a lot of terms so that he stays here, because that's what he means to the franchise. And, you know, and they're absolutely right. He is in the top three of players in the franchise. I think, you know, I'm very stingy about players who get their numbers retired. I think the Capitals have too many players whose numbers are retired. I think in the history of the franchise, there are only three players who would fit the criteria for me: Rod Langway, Alex Ovechkin, and Nicklas Backstrom. He means that much to the franchise. He's
been a great player. Small list right there that you just gave.
Small list, but
strict with it.
Those are the three players who I would give it to. And that's how much I think Backstrom means to this franchise. Like I said, should be a Hall of Famer. I worry that since he's been so overshadowed and doesn't have the trophies that are voted on by the press, I worry that will work against him, and people will say, well, how could he be one of the best ever when he wasn't one of the best of his era and didn't win the Hart Trophy and didn't win the Art Ross Trophy and all that? He's a Hall of Fame player. He's going to go down as number one or number two in points for all Swedish players for all time. Nicklas Backstrom is an all-time great, so I'm glad he got his day.
Yeah, it was definitely fitting. I mean, other than the loss, but, you know, in some ways, it's just kind of one of those, you almost write it off and say there was a ceremony, all that goes on. Like you see this with teams having ring ceremonies and all, like banner raising. And a lot of times they just kind of lose their focus. It felt like there was definitely something with that. And it's, you know, now we move forward with when they get back on the ice. I mean, you've got the marquee matchup on Thursday presented by Sandy Spring Bank. There you go. Make sure we get that in. Thank you, Sandy Spring Bank. You got three games coming up with the Islanders. That's where we go. There's no more Devils. There's the Rangers still coming up. We know that they've had issues with them. There's another, you know, Penguins and Boston. Like every single team that they are going to see the rest of the way, JJ, is in the playoff hunt, trying to either secure a slot or get back in if you're the Rangers. It is going to be an absolute grind these last 10 games.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be tough, and it's going to be a race. And, you know, if you want to debate what the value is of winning the division, because all these teams are evenly matched, okay. But you know, it means a lot to the players. And they want to rally. They want to win the division. And especially, look, what a preview for the playoffs. This is the team that embarrassed you last year in the postseason. And now you have a three-game series against them for what could be to determine who wins the division this year and who goes into the playoffs as the team to beat this year. So I think this is going to mean a lot to the Caps. I don't think this is just going to be, well, you know, doesn't matter where you finish. It doesn't matter if we're second or third or first. We just want the cup. That's the ultimate goal. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But I think this series is going to mean a lot to the Caps. I think it's going to mean a lot to the Rangers. I think it's going to mean a lot to Barry Trotz and Peter Laviolette. I think this is a big, big-time series for what I think is the best division in hockey and who the team – look, the Capitals, I don't think people would put the Capitals on the same level as Colorado or Tampa Bay heading into the playoffs. But if you win the division, the East Division, which is the best division – in hockey, don't you have to sort of be put up there with one of the top contenders for the cup? I would think you would because you've been tested more than any other team in the league and you came out better because of it.
This puts them in a good position, honestly. Like, I know it's going to be difficult. You've got Islanders on the road, then you're back home on April 27th when you host them, two against Pittsburgh, two at the Rangers, two hosting Philadelphia, then May 11th you wrap up the regular season hosting Boston. This is playoff mode for this team now. And yes, there are certainly negatives in the sense that, like, physical games against Boston, we only have one more there, but it could be that way against the Islanders. This team could get a little beat up. We talk about Justin Schultz being out and Zdeno Chara right now. But the benefits of this, to me, still outweigh anything negative because they're going to be in that playoff mode. Mentally, they're already going to be there. Somebody like Anthony Mantha, these are going to be the most important games he's ever played, and they're not even playoff games yet. So it gives him a little bit of a transition to kind of get an idea of what it's going to feel like when you get to the playoffs. Now, you can't simulate a total. You have to actually be in the playoffs to really understand what it feels like. But for this team as a whole, man, this is actually a good position for them to be in, especially because of the fact they're at the top of the division right now. So if you have a stretch where, let's say they lose two out of three to the Islanders, you don't feel like all hell is raining down and everything's falling apart because you still have that points cushion because of what you've been able to do so far this year. But this will put them in a great place. It reminds me of a little bit of the 19-31 Nats, not record or anything, but just in terms of, like, they were in playoff mode forever and they ended up winning the World Series. So this gives the Capitals this mental approach they can have now where it's, all right, we are in the toughest division. We've got all playoff teams ahead of us or the Rangers who could be a playoff team. And always seem to give them trouble. So I really like the benefits that come out of the schedule looking forward.
Yeah, and for me, the thing I want to see down the stretch is, okay, Brian McClellan just told you this is your identity. We are a big, bruising team, and I'm going to trade away a fast young player for a skilled big player. And now the Capitals need to play to their strengths during the stretch. Do not get caught up playing the Islanders game. You know, dictate the pace of the game, dictate the game that you want to play. Do not get caught up trading chances with the New York Rangers. You know, play a physical game against Boston. I know it's only one game left, but too many times we know they're going to play physical. You have to have physical with a purpose. You have to play it with a purpose. It's not just physical for the sake of physical. It's not just hits for the sake of hits. And I think they got a little bit that happened a little bit in Sunday's game where it just became physical for the sake of physical and you're just hitting someone to hit someone. No, you got to do it with a purpose. You have to incorporate it into your game plan and make sure you're hitting them, you know, as part of the forecheck. You're hitting them to disrupt their offense, to disrupt their breakouts. So it's time. The general manager has declared what your identity is. It's time for the Capitals to go into each of these games determined to force that identity into the game, dictate the way, the style of game that you want to be played, and make the other teams play the style that you want to play. There's no more, hey, we can be fast if you want to be fast. We can be skilled if you want to be skilled. We can be physical if you want to be physical. No, you are a physical team. That is what the Mantha trade says. It's time for you to dictate that style of game in every game that you play from here on out, because I don't know if there's a team, if they play their game and play to their strengths, it's going to be really tough to beat the Caps on any given night.
All right, I'm going to play a dangerous game with you before we finish this.
All right.
If I set the win total out of their last 10 games, we don't have to worry. No, I'm not going to do points in math, just straight wins. You got 10 games left. If I set their win total at 6.5, over under.
Yeah, that was exactly. It's like, boy, I hope he doesn't put it at 6.5 because that's going to be
tough. Exactly how I'm doing it. You have the hook.
Oh, okay. You know what? Boy, it's tough. They usually
go first if you want me to. I'll go first. So I actually take the under. I think it's 6 wins. I think they'll win the last two against Philadelphia, and I think they beat Boston at the end of the year. So that's 3. I think they beat Pittsburgh once out of those two games. They get one more win against the Islanders because you got two in Long Island, and that's always a difficult place for them to play, and they get one of two from New York. So that's six.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go under, and I think I'm going 6-2. I don't think they're just going to get the doors blown off. The problem is it's the teams that that seem to give them issues. It's the teams that they've had fits with at points this season. You know, the Islanders games have been tough the last few times, and the Islanders are really tough at home. So that's two games against the Islanders. Not that they'll lose both, but it's just a tough matchup there.
Right.
Pittsburgh, you could be up 20-0 heading into the third period, and somehow that game is going to overtime. We all know that game is going into overtime. That's just what happens. The Rangers have played the Caps tough. The Flyers, well, hopefully that should be two wins because the Flyers.
Careful. I did that about the Sabres, and then I knew.
But unless the Flyers get a new coach between now and then, they look like a team that has totally checked out and are.
By then, would that be the end of the season? They're going to sit there and basically go, okay, our season's done. Let's just wrap this thing up.
Right. Like, you know, usually you get those teams like, all right, we're maybe out of this, but let's play spoiler, guys. In the COVID year, I think they're just going to be like, get us out of here. So hopefully those should be two wins for the Caps. And then Boston, you know, boy, those games have gone really far in either direction. So I think I'm with you, Nick. I think it's six wins, but I don't think it's six wins in a way that's like, oh boy, the Caps aren't as good as we thought. I think it's six wins, six hard earned wins that make us confident that they're in the right place heading into the playoffs.
I mean, you've got two games at the Islanders and two games at the Rangers. I mean, those are not easy games for them at all. So yeah, these are going to be a grinded out last 10 games for them. So I feel like I'm comfortable with that being how it ends up. The key is just not to allow themselves this late in the year to let bad habits creep back in and continue to be a process. Like we've seen it before where they've had issues, but they find ways to correct them. Their puck control is better. They get more physical in games. They're not just spread, like whatever it is, whatever the things throughout this year we've talked about that have been issues at times for them, they have found ways to correct it where it doesn't become a long lasting glaring trend.
Yeah. And I think that's important. I think that's most important against the Islanders. And I think that's most important against the Rangers because those are two teams that they have not played well against recently. So I want to see improvement against the Islanders and improvement against the Rangers. Yeah, you know, they didn't play the Penguins all that great towards the beginning of the season where I said they always let teams rally. But that was a problem that they had with a lot of teams that they were at the beginning of the season where they'd be up 2-3 heading into the third period and those teams would always seem to rally. So for me, if you want to see improvement, I would circle those three games against the Islanders and circle those two games against the Rangers and see, okay, is this team at least trending in the right direction where they're improved from the last time that they played these guys?
Well, we will see. Their next game is going to be at the Islanders on Thursday, and that's when their schedule gets going. Then one day off, and then it's, of course, another one against the Islanders. A couple days after that, they play the Islanders for the third and final time there. I guess eighth and final time, technically. He's JJ Regan. I'm Nick Ashew. We will have another podcast next week, and we'll have an idea whether they're getting closer and closer to those six wins or not. Until then, we'll talk to you then.